This morning in your Bibles to James chapter 4. We talked about the end times last week. Hope you enjoyed that message. You know, this passage of scripture deals with going, buying, selling, getting goods. But James tells us, don't count on tomorrow. Don't count on tomorrow. James 14, verse 13 and 14. Chapter 4. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. James says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in all your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, today we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that speaks to our heart. And Lord, we've sung about the Holy Spirit being in this place. And Lord, we know that the Holy Spirit resides in each and every Christian believer today. And Lord, I pray that you'll wake us up. Let your Spirit convict us of these words and speak to our hearts. Lord, each one of us here this morning have come, and we all have problems, we all have hurts. We all have things in our life that are displeasing and things that we wouldn't want everyone to know, but we know that you know. And Lord, I pray that you'll touch us at the point of our need. And Lord, convict us today that when we leave this place, we'll be right with you. And we give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I could ask you, what are you counting on tomorrow? What are you counting on tomorrow? I don't know about you, but we all make plans, don't we? We kind of think we know about what we're going to do. I thought one time tomorrow was the longest day of the week because everybody puts off things till tomorrow. And we have so much to do tomorrow. We're going this and that place tomorrow. And James is asking, are you counting on tomorrow? And he uses an illustration here of a man in verse 13. He says, I'm going to this place and I'm going to stay and I'm going to make a profit. And I can see the man now. He grabs up his briefcase and he grabs up all his important papers and he heads out the door and he said, I'll be back in a year and I'm going to have a lot of gain and I'm going to make a name for myself. And Jesus says, wait a minute. Wait just a moment. You can't count on tomorrow. You see, you think you're going to do this. You're presuming a lot in your life, and you may not have tomorrow. You say you're going to buy and you're going to sell. You're presuming that you'll have a business tomorrow. And there is nothing wrong with what James is talking about here, or the man is talking about here, that he was doing, that he's going to make a business. But the error of his way was, James was telling us that he falsely presumed that he had a tomorrow in which he could buy and sell. And we're not guaranteed tomorrow. Some of you are just like this man. You're saying today, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this all next year. And we're presuming a lot in our life. Don't we do that? Everything's going to be all right tomorrow. Remember about a month ago, or I talked about the rich young ruler or the rich farmer and all his wealth. And he says, listen, I've made a good crop. I'm going to go home, build a bigger house, build bigger barns, tell down the ones I've got, and eat, drink, and be merry. And Jesus says, you fool. Tonight your soul shall be required of you. And then whose will all these things be? Now today, our society says, you make your future secure. Amen? As we talk about the end of times, and I believe, like Brother Jay, I believe we're really seeing the end of time. We're living in that period. If you look in the Bible, you can see things are coming together. They're just coming together, just as God says they were. But I see these people on television, these doomsday preppers that are building and storing up and all of this and all the water, all the food. Some are building houses underground and putting all their guns there. And they're making arrangements for all of those things as if they'll live on for long periods of time. But you're not guaranteed tomorrow. I was talking to the doctor the other day, and it was amazing. He says, with all the insight that we have as doctors, we're still going to die. One little thing goes wrong in a child's birth, changes that personality, changes the way he's made. One little mosquito carrying the Zika virus changes everything about that baby's life. And we can't do one thing about it. You see, it's all in God's hands. And the philosophy of man is make sure you have enough money, make sure you have enough luxury, retire and be happy. And I have found out behind that philosophy is the old devil. And while all these things we see will make our life much better, but we are not guaranteed tomorrow. Tomorrow. What are you going to do tomorrow? You see, the old Grim Reaper walks up and down the halls of the hospital. He walks up and down the streets. He walks up and down our homes. And he may be stopping by your house tonight. So don't presume on tomorrow. James says our tomorrows are always uncertain. We are never sure of the plans we make for our tomorrow. Now, let me tell you, it's okay to plan. But plan first on what if there is no tomorrow. You see? It's all right to make your plans, but be sure you make certain that if there's no tomorrow, you're secure in Christ Jesus, because we may not have a tomorrow. I've heard people who are on their deathbed and they're still trying to hold on to the earth's riches. And they say, one day, when I'm about to die, I'll make things right with God. And I'm thinking, you fool, Jesus says, tonight your soul will be required of you. And you may not have a tomorrow to make it right. You see, over in Genesis chapter 11 is an interesting story. They were living in such vile things and sin in such a way that God says, you know, I'm going to destroy this earth. I'm going to destroy the inhabitants. And he tells Noah, he says, Noah, I want you to build an ark because it's going to rain and I'm going to destroy everything on the earth except those who put their faith in God. No one believed Noah. No one trusted God. And therefore, only Noah and his family survived. And you would think that would take care of the sin problem. But it doesn't. If you read in chapter 4 11, verse 4 of Genesis, that same passage of Scripture. Let me read it to you just a minute. After the flood and everyone has died, after that it says in verse 4 of 11, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. This is another generation of people that's come along, and they're trying to build themselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. They're saying, listen, we want to make a name for ourselves. We want to get to heaven some other way than by God's way. And the problem was, they tried to reach God in their own terms, and you cannot do that. James chapter 4 says this man was doing the same thing. He says, I will go tomorrow, and I'll buy, and I'll sell, and I'll get gain. And he was building a name for himself that he might have more popularity. And Jesus says, what if there is no tomorrow? What are you living for today? Now that's a question we all need to ask ourselves right here. Is it for a name for yourself? Is it for things in this world? What are you living for today? When your family's gone, and your money's gone, and your house is gone, and your reputation, what are you living for today? You see, if you achieve all the things that this world offered you, all the materialistic things that we sometimes want, what will you have? What is the most important thing? The Bible makes it very plain. Jesus speaks on, there's a day when you'll, if you live for the materialistic, if you live for the thing, there's one day you'll lift your eyes in hell. The Lord said that. And the Lord said, today you need to seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will come to you. You see, put all the earthly things aside and live for you, for Christ. Back over in the Old Testament again, there was two men, Abraham and Lot. Lot was living for the materialistic things. That's the reason he moved down in Sodom. Abraham was living for God. He wasn't worried about where he was going. He was just going for God. He lived in a tent. He said over in Hebrews, I am a sojourner, moving through this world, going to a heavenly home that God has laid up for me there. And I often want to know so many times, what am I living for? You see, Jesus wasn't saying all the things in the world are important. They are. You've got to have a house and things like that. They're important. You've got to make a living. That's important. But the important thing we ought to think about first is to seek God and put Him first in our life. And then He says all these other things will fall into place. He's saying get your priorities right. What are you living for today? I don't know about you, but I would almost do anything to save the life of my children. And I just imagine you would too. Amen? You'd do just about anything for your children. You love your children. And because we love them, that is great. But what does your soul matter to you today? Think about it. The most precious possession that we have that God has given you is eternal, isn't it? It is your soul. It's your soul. It will live on forever someplace, heaven or hell. One of the two places. Now, you ought to love your children. You ought to love your family. You ought to love one another. But you ought to take care of your soul first. For the Bible says, what profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What are you going to live for today? Because you can't count on tomorrow. There's so much uncertainty about tomorrow. You know, Jesus preached a lot on hell, didn't he? It's not a popular thing today. I know some preachers, some churches today have just done away with hell altogether. They'll tell you there is no hell. Everybody's going to heaven. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said the words of God are true, everlasting. Nothing's going to change out of this word. And hell is there, so we need to preach on it. You see, and nobody, let me tell you something, there's not a person here in this room today that would like to go to hell. I'll guarantee you, it's not a good place. And Jesus warns us more about hell than any other thing. He wants us to listen. He wants us to pay attention about this place called hell. He said it's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Never are you going to die in that place called hell. You're forever going to be weeping. You're forever going to be wailing. You're ever going to be crying out. It's a place, the Bible says, even the worm dieth not, and the fire of hell is not quenched. And it's a place, the Bible says, you can never escape. Now, that's the words of Jesus. I just preached the Bible. I'm just going to tell you like it is. You can't do anything in hell, but remember, you could have had heaven. Wouldn't that be bad? To know you could have been in heaven, but now you're in hell forever. So let me ask you that question one more time to think about. What are you living for today? You see, Jesus warns us about an attitude of, I don't need God. An attitude of independence from God. A heart that makes its plans to go certain place without even an awareness of God. Listen, the older I get, the more I'm aware that our lives are fragile. Our lives are growing older. And we need to walk with God every day. Not just on Sunday, but every single day. I need to put God first in my life because I'm not guaranteed of another breath. You see, there's a famous preacher that preached the sinners in the hands of an angry God. And he talked about sinners are hanging by a thread over a fire. And all that thread has to do is come along and cut it, and you fall forever into that place of everlasting torment. And folks, that's the way we are. God's in control. And if you say no to God today, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. We spend our thoughts, we spend our plans on tomorrow. Oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. We boast of a future. We talk about this is going to be here and how we'll live and how we'll work and how we're going to have our lives, and we let our lives slip. And our soul falls through our fingers into an everlasting punishment. Man, James says life is like a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. Solomon, the wisest man since Jesus ever lived apart from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, says in Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Life is short, and we don't know when it's going to end. And it doesn't matter how young you may be, the fact remains that one out of one die. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. He comes when He wants. He takes away those He wants, where He wants, how He wants, and there's nothing that we can do about it. When He comes for you, and when He comes for me, where will our lives be? You see, our lifespan is very short. Man, it was just yesterday that I was a teenager. Where has time gone? You talk with the older ones here, even 90 years of age, and they will say, where has time gone? It just slips away, you see. And I meet people every day that are walking time bombs. You know what that means? They're on the verge of death at any time. You know, there's life is without Christ, and they will say to me, well, preacher, I'm all right. I've got a few more years. They're presuming. And then the call comes the next morning, and they have slipped away. Satan has blinded people to the fact, and we don't know if we have a tomorrow. He will tell you, yes, you do. He will tell you everything's all right. But James says here, presumption is wrong. You better be prepared today to live tomorrow. For he says, you ought to say, if the Lord's will, we shall live. If the Lord's will, we shall do this. If the Lord's will, we'll do that. Have you thought about it? Have you thought about where you're going to be if God calls you home today? And I know some of you sitting there saying, well, I'm in good health. It doesn't make any difference. Sixteen people I buried this year, from a 10-year-old to a 90-something-year-old. And guess what? They all died. The 10-year-old wasn't expecting to die. His daddy, 34 years old, wasn't expecting to die. But it happened just like that. I'm so glad they were prepared. What about you? How do we prepare for tomorrow? Well, verse 15 says we are to be prepared by being in the will of God. In the will of God. Now, ask yourself, what is God's will? The Bible says He wills none should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. That simply means come to Him and do what He says with your life. And turn from your sin, and you shall have eternal life. You see, eternal life, that's God's will. For every one of us in here, from the youngest to the oldest, He says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all of us should come to repentance. That means turning our life around. We're headed in a direction called hell. And unless you've called on Jesus Christ, you're still headed that direction. But when we repent, we turn our lives around and start coming back towards God and living for God. Turn from our sin. You see, people said all you have to do is believe. No, it's more than that. When you believe in Christ, you turn from your sin, you turn from sin and turn to a living God. You get away from that sin and you quit living
for yourself. And you start living for Christ. Oh, that's a good life. It's good to walk daily with the Lord. I want to live for Christ. Can you say that? I want to live for Christ. All you have to do is turn your life around and repent. Come to Christ, and the Bible says He will save you. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. You can't count on it. Nobody in here can say with a surety, I'll be living tomorrow. But if you're a Christian and you've given your life to Christ, you can say one thing for sure. If I die here, I'm alive with Christ for all eternity. He says those who have Christ never die. Let me close with this. Whatever you're putting off till tomorrow, you need to do it today. To someone, God's Spirit right now is whispering, come, come, come to me. All ye that labor and heavy laden, come. Trust me, repent now. That's what the Spirit is telling you. I want you to come, give your life to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Satan is also shouting, leave it till tomorrow. But the Lord says, today is the day of salvation. You can't count on tomorrow. The decision you need to make is now. Right now, you need to turn your life to Jesus Christ. You need to live for Him 100%. Give it all to Christ. If you don't, you could lose it all for all eternity. Now, I'm not trying to scare you. That's just what the Bible says. Many a person has listened to the devil and says, I'll wait till next week. And next week never comes. If you're here today and you are without Christ in your heart, don't listen to the devil. You can't count on tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Jesus says, come. If you're here and you are saved and you're not living your life pleasing to the Lord in every way, you need to come and get right with God. For I don't want to die and go out into eternity knowing that I have unconfessed sin in my life. I want to be pleasing to God in every way. When I get to heaven, I want Him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Some of you are here and you're looking for a church home, and you know you need a church home. This is the place God's led you. Why don't you come today and join in with this fellowship? We might work together for God's glory for the time that we have left. I believe it's real short. Would you come? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today that today is the day of salvation. You've given us an opportunity. Lord, don't let us listen to the devil. Let us come. Turn. Start living for You. For it's in Your precious name that we ask these things. Amen.